I'd like to suggest to you that when you learn to connect to intention, as I've been discussing here in this program, that something will happen as you go out into the world. You will find that your presence will do things to other people, even without you being aware of it. When you are at this level, one of the things that happens is you begin to instill calmness. We convince others by our presence, said Walt Whitman. People will feel calmer when they're around you. You ever be in a group of people where you instantly know that when you're around them, it just feels good. You feel better about yourself just for having been in the room with them. That's what will happen. And there's also people who, when you're in the room with them, you want to run away because they bring very low energy. And people say to me, you know, other people are always bringing me down. I'm working with, if you knew what my family was like, if you lived with the people I live with, you wouldn't be saying these kind of things. And I say, low energy people can never bring you down. You have low energy because you hate people for hating you. You get angry at people for being angry at you. You judge people for judging you. You join others in their low energy. What did Sky just say? Make me a channel of your peace. Don't send me peace. Francesco didn't say, I need some peace. I'm short of peace. But this is only peace. It can only provide. Make me a channel of this. Allow me to be this. Your presence, when you connect to intention, to the field of intention, as I've been describing it here today, your presence makes other people feel energized. They want to do more. They want to write. They want to create their music. They want to make Mr. Holland's Opus. It's like, who doesn't love that movie? And it isn't because it was such a great movie, which I think it happens to be, but it was because every one of us has Rocky. How many people saw Rocky? Remember Rocky by Sylvester Stallone? And you walk out of there, and you might despise boxing, but you go, there's a Rocky in me. We all feel, you walk out of there, you just feel like, it's like your presence makes others feel connected and uplifted. Your presence makes other people feel purposeful. It inspires them to greatness. And there's also an impact that you have on the consciousness of all of humanity. In Power versus Force, again, Hawkins speaks about what happens to us when we, here we have in this room probably 1,000 or more people in this beautiful, majestic theater in Boston. Just by your being here, just by watching this program and taking on some of these ideas, you change the energy of the entire planet. Everything is connected to everything else. The Native Americans used to say, no tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves. We're all branches on a tree called humanity. What I'd like to do is just do a quick summary now of what I call the dire dozen. And this is the 12 points that I have been speaking about and talking about here in this entire program. There are 12 of them. I'm just going to spend a moment or two on each of them. If you want to jot these down while you're watching, I would encourage you to keep track of these 12 ideas, the dire dozen, for connecting to intention. 1, want more for others than you want for yourself. Want more for others. Whatever it is that you perceive to be missing, whatever health problems that you may have, whatever addictions you're struggling with, whatever lack of love that you have in your life, whatever lack of peace that you have with your aunts and your uncles or your parents or your in-laws, want the peace that you seek for yourself more for them. Want it more for them. That is how we create this level of consciousness. Secondly, think from the end. Begin to see yourself surrounded by the people and the events and the things that you would like to have. Only see yourself. You're having a problem with an addiction? See yourself as addiction free. See yourself if there's a car that you want. My son was perfect at this, Sam. I mean, he's just so good at this. because there's a certain car that he wanted. It's yellow. And he didn't just bug me about it every day, which they all do. And all kids will do that. But he saw himself. He got a picture of it. He put it on his computer. It's the background of his computer, this yellow whatever it is. All right? I call it the school bus. I told him I was going to put cab fares on the side of it, but that's what he wanted. All right? And then he saw him, and then he went down and he drove it. And it was a used car, and he got on the internet, and he just saw himself in it. He couldn't not see himself in it. You know, young, we call this just persistence and being a pain in the rear end oftentimes, but it's not that at all. What it is young people have this instant knowing and awareness that I can create what I want for myself in my life, and the way that I do it is I act as if it's already here. And you just, and almost like they won't be denied it. That's what intention is. It's not that pit bull attitude, it's that awareness that I am thinking from the end, it's already here, because everything that you think is missing from your life is already here. The third of these dozen is to be an appreciator in your life. Be an appreciator. Look for that which is valuable rather than worthless. Look, you go out and you buy a house. And 10 years later, we say, it appreciates in value. What does that mean? What does it mean that a house appreciates? It is more what? Valuable. It's more same thing with you. If you're an appreciator, you have more value. Now you buy a car, you drive it off of the lot, and they say, well, it just depreciated by 20%. What does that mean? It is not as valuable as it was before. When you depreciate, you take your value away. When you appreciate, you make yourself valuable. What could be more valuable than being connected to source? Four, stay in rapport with source energy. Stay in rapport. Your job here is to be in a state of harmony with this. Constantly reminding yourself, is this how my source thinks? Five, resistance. Understand this about resistance. Every thought that you have that is other than that which you emanated from is resistance. Every unkind thought, every uncreative thought, every thought of judgment, every thought of fear, every thought of depression, every thought of it can't happen, all resistance. So if you say, well, easy for him, he can talk about this, but I can't, that's resistance. You're right, absolutely. Even if you think all of this is a bunch of nonsense, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely, because for you, that's what you believe. And if you believe that, the universal source will help you to fulfill that belief. Sixth is what I talked about many times in the program. Contemplate yourself as surrounded by the conditions which you want to produce. Contemplate yourself that. Because the way, you are one with source. You are always one with source. You are one with all of its principles, all of those phases. You are one with it. It can't be anything other than it is. Neither can you. Seven, understand the art of allowing. Allowing means taking the path of least resistance. Every time you have a thought that has resistance in it, what you have done is you have created an absence of allowing. You have to almost think like, here I am here, and here's source. How much energy can I pull from it? How much energy can I pull from it? Are you pulling energy from source, or are you away from it? Allow it. Allow yourself. Eight, practice radical humility. You are not this body that you are in. You are not this mind that you are in. You are not any of the possessions that you have. You are a divine source. Nine, be in a constant state of gratitude. Be grateful for everything that shows up. Everything. Stay in a state of being generous and grateful in your life. Because what could be more generous than that which has allowed you to come from the infinite source to this material world and back? 10. Keep in mind that you can never resolve a problem by condemning it. Any problem that you have, when you use shame, you are using the lowest energy that's out there in the universe. You cannot shame your way into higher consciousness, into source energy. 11, play the match game. Play the match game. Always ask yourself, am I matched up with the field of intention? And finally, meditate. Make it a practice in your life. Meditation is essential because it is your way of staying connected to Source. What is the only thing in the universe that can't be divided? You cannot divide God. Everything else has an up, down, north, south, east, west, male, female, right, wrong, black, white, alive, dead. Everything comes in dichotomies, except for silence. Silence, you cut it in half, what do you get? More silence. Cut it in half again, more silence. Cut source in half, just more source. You can't divide it. Meditation, stay in the gap. I'd like to close out this program on the power of intention with a story that was sent to me by a dear friend, Helen. It's called Attitude. 92-year-old, petite, well-poised, and proud lady who's fully dressed each morning by 8 o'clock, 92 years old, with her hair fashionably coiffed and makeup perfectly applied, even though she's legally blind and moved to a nursing home today. Her husband of 70 years recently passed away, making the move necessary. After many hours of waiting patiently in the lobby of this nursing home, she smiled sweetly when she told her room was now ready. As she maneuvered her walker to the elevator, I provided a visual description of her tiny room, including the eyelet sheets that had been hung on the window. "I love it," she stated, with the enthusiasm of an 8-year-old, having just been presented with a new puppy. "But Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen the room yet. Just wait." "That doesn't have anything to do with it," she said. "Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange my mind." When you change the way you look at things, even if you're legally blind, the things you look at change. God bless you. And thank you so much.
Love that story. What a great way to end the program. It really touches you. Right. Let me tell you something that you might not know or you might not even be able to imagine about this program. Dr. Dyer did that entire show in one seamless take
from beginning to end
with no notes and no break. It was astonishing. It was a marathon.
It's because I did exactly what I've been telling everybody here to do, and it's the same way I wrote this book. I mean, it's even more astonishing that in 6 months I sat down and just wrote and wrote and wrote every day, and all of it came through. When you connect to Source, when you get, you know, in the Course in Miracles, they have a line that says, "If you knew who walked beside you at all times on this path that you have chosen, you could never experience doubt or fear again. It would be impossible." And that's what I do. I just connect to that source, and that's what I'm encouraging everybody else to do. And the show is over. We just have a few moments here left, and this is your last opportunity here, and I'd really like to remind you that you never regret what you don't do in life. You never regret what you do in life. You only regret what you don't do. And I learned that lesson, I remember very powerfully, when I went back to my 30-year high school reunion, and I was dancing with a girl there. There was the prettiest girl in the school at that time, 30 years older now, and her name was Janice. And I was saying to her how much I would really have liked to have dated her when I was in high school, but I just never had the nerve. And she said, "Well, why didn't you just ask me? I would have loved to have gone out with you. I always liked you." And I went, "Oh, my goodness. You never regret what you did."